Hello, this is Gerald O'Connor, and welcome to the Hand-Me-Down Podcast, a podcast of history and family stories. The goal of this series is to tell some of the stories of my family in the context of the history in which those stories occurred. It's part genealogy and part history that I hope you'll enjoy. In this episode, I take a look at the long public service career of my great-grandfather, Michael Desmond, who held municipal offices during the Progressive Era of the early 20th century. My great-grandfather Michael Desmond was city clerk of Sacramento for 26 years, from January 1896 until his death on Christmas Day, 1921. While he never ran for elective office himself, he was deeply involved in local Democratic Party politics, starting as a young man in his teens and 20s, working as a boilermaker in the Southern Pacific Railroad shops, and he was appointed clerk of the police court in 1894. He also made a name and reputation for himself around town as an entertainer, singer, and master of ceremonies in Progressive-era Sacramento of the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Alone or with his siblings, Mike Desmond appeared in concerts, musicales, theatricals, and he performed as MC, comedian, and a host for numerous club benefits and fundraisers. Although his patronage appointments to both positions stirred resentment as well as protest from the men he replaced, Mike quickly established himself as a likable and reliable fellow in and around City Hall. The newspapermen appreciated him because he demonstrated a quick wit and provided reporters with material on slow news days. Over time, he gained a reputation as a man in the know at City Hall, and he was popular with Republicans as well as Democrats, appointed and reappointed by leaders of both parties. He survived three different city charters, served under 14 different mayors or city commission presidents, and worked for dozens of council and commission members. When he died on Christmas Day 1921, Sacramento lost a man who had accumulated a wealth of institutional memory and who had helped to keep the machinery of city politics and government running for a quarter century. As a younger man in his late 20s, Mike Desmond began a career in city politics as a loyal Democratic organizer in the wards. In his 30s, he worked as a precinct clerk to Judge Robert Devlin in the city election of February 1892. In an era of machine politics, he was ready to receive his first patronage reward with a November appointment to be clerk of the police court, an early version of a municipal court. According to the B writer, this was a pretty easy gig. In the November 15, 1893 Sacramento Bee, under the headline, "The Pickers of Plums," the writer describes the new mayor as being besieged by office seekers willing to draw the fat salaries from the treasuries. Among the men who are said to be applicants for some of the offices are the following: Isidore Alexander, C.M. Harrison, and M.J. Desmond are declared to be in the race for clerk of the police court, one of the softest billets under the government. The work averages 2 hours a day and pays $150 a month. In January, Mike Desmond had secured the appointment, but apparently the former Judge Buckley and his clerk McCracken were unwilling to relinquish their positions, maintaining that the old city charter recognized their prior appointments for at least another year. The dust-up lasted only a day, as both the judge and the former clerk yielded to the new Board of Trustees. The headline, "Police Clerk M.J. Desmond Takes Possession of the Office." Immediately after the opening of the police court yesterday morning, Justice Devine announced that he was in receipt of a communication from the City Board of Trustees, notifying him that M.J. Desmond was duly appointed and confirmed as clerk of the police court of the City of Sacramento. Justice Devine stated that he would recognize the validity of the new charter in respect to the abolition of the former police court and directed Clerk McCracken to vacate his place as court clerk and give way to Mr. Desmond. Upon retiring from the chair, Mr. McCracken handed to Justice Devine a protest to the action of the trustees. Mr. Desmond then assumed the duties of the clerk. Mr. Cracken also filed a protest with Clerk Desmond, denying the latter's right to assume the duties and possession of clerk of the police court. Once secure in his position, Mike Desmond settled in and appears to have developed a favorable relationship with his colleagues and members of the press. In at least one instance, Mike Desmond even helped in making an arrest, leading to a rather humorous identification in court the following day. Sacramento Union's headline in 1895, "Where is the man?" Thomas Monroe and Thomas O'Neill were charged yesterday in the police court with petty larceny in taking a box of macaroni from a truck in front of the Adams Booth Company's store. Monroe testified that he and O'Neill were together and a man came up to them and gave them the box and half a dollar to take it to 711 L Street. He did not know who the man was. Officer Talbot testified that he and Clerk Desmond arrested the men with the box in their possession and that one of them admitted that the box was taken from the truck. O'Neill began a rambling story of how Talbot said he would smash him if he didn't pick up the box and confessed that he stole it. "Did you see this other gentleman who sits at the desk?" asked the court, pointing to Clerk Desmond. "Well, someone was there, a short, chunky fellow. He's a pretty tough man, I guess," answered the prisoner with a withering glance at the genial clerk. The defendants were found guilty and sentenced to 30 days each in jail. In January 1896, a trustee nominated and the board approved Michael Desmond to become clerk for the city of Sacramento, serving the city council and mayor, or board and president, depending upon the charter, for the next 26 years. Since the city clerk was responsible for receiving contract bids for city work, and those notices were required to be published in the newspaper, Mike Desmond's name appeared in the Bee and the Union just about every day, with thousands of search hits for the years 1896 to 1921 in the Sacramento Bee alone. While his appointment wasn't approved by unanimous vote, his predecessor, Oscar Flint, promptly turned over the books, papers, and money of the office to his successor. At the same board meeting, a young Hiram Johnson, future governor and U.S. Senator, was chosen as city corporation counsel. Mike Desmond and Hiram Johnson would sit together at council meetings on and off for the next 6 years until Johnson took up a position in the San Francisco District Attorney's Office in 1903. On December 23, 1896, Mike Desmond married Mary Morley. According to the Bee, there was general suspension of business about the City Hall this morning in order that the occupants of the offices might be present at the ceremony which made City Clerk Michael J. Desmond a happy man. The event took place at the Cathedral at 11:30 o'clock, the parties to the ceremony being Mr. Desmond and Miss Mary A. Morley, an estimable and handsome young woman whose home is in this city. Over the course of the next 25 years, there were several colorful Mike Desmond newspaper items mixed in with the perfunctory ones. One reporter insisted on calling him Michael Angelo Desmond, an inside joke that is never explained. What follows is a sampling of some of these stories, both from the Bee and the Union. Here's a classic fish story from 1906. Boss fisherman discovered. Evident that the city clerk Desmond is repeating his victories over the salmon that inhabit the waters of Santa Cruz. The first big fish story from Santa Cruz came last evening. It is not from M.J. Desmond, but it is all about him. The communication took the form of a special telegram from a bunch of elks in the seaside city who claim to have discovered the boss fisherman of the Pacific coast. The city clerk of Sacramento, who arrived in Santa Cruz Tuesday morning, at once engaged a boat fitted out with nets and other fishing tackle and went out after salmon. It appears from the dispatch that Mr. Desmond's crew was the most successful that ever sailed these waters, for the catch is something immense, and he's been keeping up his lick right along. The story seems too good to be true, but it is related in the telegram that a large life-size frozen salmon packed in ice, the result of Mr. Desmond's prowess as a fisherman, is to be sent to each elk in Sacramento, and that the first consignment may be expected this morning. As an entertainer, Mike Desmond also took part in minstrel shows, which were popular in the early part of the 1900s. I wasn't able to find any mention that he performed in blackface, the racist portrayal of African Americans by white performers, which was one of the staple parts of minstrel shows. He did, however, poke fun at his own Irish heritage. The headline from the Bee, "Elks present an unusually fine amateur entertainment." It was produced in the name of charity, but it made a hit solely on account of its merit. The Elks Minstrel Show at the Clooney last night was a great triumph, and would still have been even if charity had not been the object. The audience was large and glorious in array. It came with the idea of being rifled and looted in the name of charity, and found that it had struck a bargain counter. It is seldom that so many fine singers as were in the choruses, and such unctuous comedians as Mike Desmond and J.W.S. Butler, are found in the best minstrel shows on the road. Modern Ventriloquism was a marvelous piece of work by J.C. Ing with a suspicion of Mike Desmond. It was one of the finest pieces on the program. Desmond undertook the role of an Irish dummy with great intelligence and with scarcely any apparent effort whatever. In 1909, the Sacramento City government changed party hands, and political favoritism made Mike Desmond's job potentially vulnerable. But while he may have initially obtained the job through political patronage, he appears to have kept it through merit. Headline, "Democrats certain of enough votes to reorganize police and fire departments." Reorganization, as it was explained fully in the Bee yesterday, will come if the Democratic members of the Board of City Trustees can control 7 votes. Plans are for a general culling out of dead wood. Political standards will be the gauge by which final disposal or temporary retirement will be decided. Those who are right will receive preferment. Those who are on the path that does not lead to the doorsteps of the powers that be, well, they may be in a position to hunt for some other payroll to sign. As soon as the new Board of Trustees organizes for business for the new year and administration, a city clerk must be appointed for a term of 2 years. Mike Desmond has been in that position for some time and will be reappointed. There were rumors that Desmond's scalp was in danger, that some person or other was after it because Mike had been in the place long enough. Nothing has been said about his capabilities, unless that he has made an excellent clerk. But at this stage of the game, 2 months before the new mayor takes charge, it appears as if Desmond is good for another term. In March 1910, the Sacramento Athletic Club put on a grand carnival and masquerade ball at the old pavilion at 6th and M Streets, Capitol Mall today, promising that the athletic pageant alone will be worth the price of admission, and that the mask ball will rival those of old Sacramento Athletic Club days. The Bee published an image with a photo of Mike Desmond's face, superimposed over a cartoon of a flamboyant Spanish cavalier. City Clerk Mike Desmond will be there with many other dignitaries. No one ever hinted to the genial city officer that he was a Spanish cavalier, but the costumer will work many wonders, even with one's nationality. There were times when the public's lack of knowledge about his duties as city clerk caused some embarrassment. Desmond shies at license. Maid weeps while young man waits. That she who hastens into matrimony may slip, and often does, was made manifest yesterday afternoon when a trim young lady dressed in a baby blue gown and wearing a large flowered hat, hurried into the city hall. Breathlessly, she asked a workman on the first floor where the clerk's office was, and then when she had obtained her information, continued her course to that office. Mike Desmond, city clerk, is a circumspect and an exceedingly well-conducted man. "I want a marriage license," said the enthusiastic young lady. "I'm sorry," said Desmond, who was somewhat taken aback by the unexpectedness of the demand, "but I can't give you one." The girl turned furiously red and asked the frightened city clerk, "Why can't I get a license?" "Well, the fact is," he said, pained at the distress he had caused, "I haven't any marriage licenses." "But what am I going to do?" And she almost wept. "I'm to be married this afternoon. He's waiting for me now, and we bought our tickets for Los Angeles." Mike Desmond pondered for a time, and then he told her, "Well, perhaps you'd better go to the county clerk's office." In 1912, another election brought about a complete change on the Board of Trustees. But as the Bee noted, Mike Desmond remained. Trustees quit work and vacate City Hall. Retiring officials pat each other on the back and dispose of routine business at farewell session. Only Desmond remains. City Clerk M.J. Desmond was the only official in the hall who was not stepping down. In his 17 years of service as city clerk, he's seen many city trustees come and go and has officially outlived them all. The new form of government will be ushered in with Mike Desmond at the city clerk's desk. When someone called out to the trustees, the janitor requests you gentlemen leave the keys to their desks. It was the signal for their departure, but not Mike's. The early 20th century brought about changes in technology, including the automobile. This from a Bee story in March of 1913. This is the line of talk that was overheard when Mike Desmond, city clerk, and Commissioner Burke decided to attend a ball game and use the Ford automobile purchased for the use of the street department. "Sure, we'll go out in the machine," said Desmond as Commissioner Burke graciously stood aside for him to enter. "Crank her up for us, Wrightson," Burke chirped as he confidently took hold of the steering wheel. And then Burke said, "What do I do next?" "Just put your foot on that," said Wrightson, indicating. "What next?" inquired Burke. "Well, now open this up and give us a little gas," came back Wrightson. "Now what do I do?" said Burke. At about this time, Desmond interrupted, "Well, I don't know what you do, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm getting out of here right now." More humor from later that year. Mike Desmond's Celtic tongue balks at French. An application from Monsieur Zered of Paris, France, to officiate as landscape architect for the city of Sacramento caused a roar of laughter when City Clerk Desmond turned loose his Celtic French. The letter was originally addressed to a woman of this city and sent to the board. "Chère Mademoiselle," began Desmond, "je ne sais pas," he continued and came to a full stop, confessing what followed was beyond his comprehension. This from the Sacramento Union in 1914. Mike Desmond loses his athletic ability of the earlier day. City clerk gets awful splash when youthful memories come over him. In the days of his youth, city clerk Mike Desmond was considered a corking good broad jumper, but according to the statement of Chairman Mike Burke of the City Commissioners, the first mentioned Michael is all in now. On Wednesday night, both Michaels wandered homeward, and when they reached the corner of 13th and G Streets, encountered a pool of water on the crossing about 6 inches deep and 6 feet wide. "Ha ha," said the genial Desmond, "here's where I revert to my early youth and top the water jump and the leap." "All right, we'll both do some leaping," said Burke. "You first, my dear Mike," said Desmond. "All right, Mike, I'll do it," said Burke. The dignified chairman of the commissioners dropped back about 50 feet, took a flying start, and cleared the pool with many feet to spare. "I'll take more of a run so I can get a good takeoff," said Desmond as he dropped back a quarter of a block. Desmond started at a lope, increased to a canter, and when he came to the edge of the pool, was shooting on all four. But it was to no avail. He jumped high and landed in the middle of the pool. "Guess I'm not as young as I formerly was," said Desmond as he waded out of the pool, his silk hose dampened and his lavender garters spotted with muddy water. When former City Corporation Council Hiram Johnson became governor, it was customary for the City Commission, as the City Council was known then, to attend the State Fair on Governor's Day. This from the Sacramento Bee. City dads drop work to greet governor. A question of parliamentary proceedings threatened for a time today to prevent the City Commission from paying a tribute to Governor Hiram Johnson by being in attendance at the Governor's Day's events at the State Fair. Under the charter, the Commission is required to stay in session 1 hour when bids are to be received. The commissioners considered incumbent upon them as a matter of courtesy to go to the fairgrounds, but they also had to comply with the charter. Commissioner Carragher insisted that all the commissioners needed to do was to sneak out. President Simmons held it couldn't be done legally, but the time was drawing near when they were supposed to be at the fairgrounds. In about 60 seconds, the City Council chamber was bare, except for City Clerk Mike Desmond, who had to do lone sentinel duty for a whole hour in case any bids were submitted. Mike Desmond was a baseball fan, a former amateur player, with a son, my grandfather, who was playing collegiate ball at Santa Clara in 1916. This from October. The headline, "Sacramento fans favor the Red Sox over the Dodgers in the coming World Series." Says City Clerk Mike Desmond, "My opinion is that Boston will win. They have my permission to do so as I'm a native of the Hub City and I'm for Boston. That is all." From the Bee in 1921, in a year of yet another new city charter, and in what would turn out to be Mike Desmond's last year. Aspirants for city jobs start active campaign. A lively race is on for the many municipal positions to be distributed by the city manager and city councilmen who take office when the new charter becomes fully effective here on July 1st. The offices of city treasurer, city attorney, police judge, and city clerk are the ones to be filled by appointment of the city council, other appointments being up to the city manager. City clerk Mike Desmond will succeed himself in all probability. This is the talk everywhere. Desmond will be held in office, it is said, from a pure standpoint of ability. For over 25 years, Desmond has been city clerk of Sacramento. Mike Desmond suffered a stroke at Christmas dinner, 1921, and died just before midnight. His death was featured prominently on the front pages of both the Bee and the Union newspapers. Flags at city buildings were ordered flown at half staff. Michael Desmond called by death. Observance of a happy Christmas season, followed closely upon the celebration of his 25th wedding anniversary, was cut short, and a long, useful official life was ended when Michael J. Desmond, City Clerk of Sacramento, died after an illness of a few hours at the home of his friend and Christmas host, William Henderson, 1421 I Street, early yesterday morning. Desmond was a guest and his wife and two sons at Christmas dinner at the Henderson home. 7 o'clock, he was stricken with apoplexy, the stroke coming at a time when he was in particularly happy spirits. A physician who was summoned advised against removal to Desmond's home, 1424 F Street. Death came in about 5 hours after the stroke had been suffered. Desmond's passing was a shock to the community and his official associates. City officials issued statements yesterday deploring his death and complimenting the deceased city clerk upon his long and upright conduct of the affairs of his office. A special meeting of the City Council was called for this morning, at which arrangements will be made to care temporarily for the duties of the clerkship. Desmond was a native of Boston, 60 years old, came to Sacramento 50 years ago, and made his home here since. the age of 14, he entered the Southern Pacific shops as a boilermaker apprentice. He was appointed clerk of the city police court in 1894. He became city clerk on January 6, 1896, and had served continuously in that capacity until his death. He was active fraternally, was a past exalted ruler of Sacramento Lodge of Elks, and was a member of the Knights of Columbus and Woodmen of the World. The deceased was married 25 years ago and observed his silver wedding anniversary last Friday. Surviving are his wife, Mrs. Mary A. Desmond, two sons, Gerald Desmond, Sacramento attorney, and William Desmond, a student in dentistry at the University of California, and one sister, Miss Ida Desmond of San Francisco. City Manager Clyde Seavey last night expressed his sorrow at the sudden death of Desmond. "Everyone who knew him loved him," Seavey said, "because of his jovial and kindly disposition and sterling qualities. In his official capacity, there was no one who was more courteous and pleasant in his dealings than he. He was capable and was known particularly for his broad knowledge of city affairs and his integrity in his official as well as his private life. In the last few months of his occupancy, I found him a wonderful help in making the necessary adjustments of the new regime. It was largely because of his helpfulness that the city has progressed so much since last July." The Bees article was very similar, but added, "By reason of his long experience in city affairs, he had become an information bureau for all city officials, who went to him when a problem could not be solved or information could not be gathered in any other way." Today, thanks to progressive era reforms like civil service, the job of city clerk of Sacramento is held by a professional, usually with a specialized certification or an advanced degree like Master's of Public Administration, someone trained in the administrative and fiscal functions of municipal government. My great-grandfather was one of the last of the old-time machine politicians who got his job because of who he knew, not necessarily what he knew. But over time, he accumulated the knowledge of the job that matched his innate understanding of people, and that made him a very effective civil servant, for his era, or for any era. That's it for now. If you would like to see some of the images and newspaper clippings mentioned in this episode, be sure to visit the website at o'connor.home.blog. This podcast was written and produced by me, Gerald O'Connor. The theme music is by Andy Slatter at Audio Jungle, with additional music by Kevin MacLeod. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time on Hand Me Down.